Monday, September 24th, 2007, KUOW 94.9. I'm Dave Beck. Music must be approached with respect, commitment, and a finely honed technique, no matter the genre. That is the guiding philosophy for Seattle saxophonist Michael Brockman. Michael co-directs the Seattle Repertory Jazz Orchestra, frequently performs with the Seattle Symphony, and teaches at the University of Washington. Michael Brockman is with us in our performance studio to share what being open-minded and highly adaptable sounds like. And thank you, Michael, for bringing in the instruments and these recordings, and good to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you. Thanks for the invitation.
For such an active player and teacher and leader in music in this community, this was a career path that came late to you, was it not?
Yeah, actually, I was midway through my college career and decided to switch degrees and become a music major and pursue my real dream.
Yeah, but you're studying in Germany, studying.
Yeah, I was a German major actually. I was overseas studying in Germany,
and
I just got so caught up in the cultural richness of Europe and Germany. I mean, I would run into people who knew more about everything musical, including American music, than I had ever hoped to know, and these were even folks on the, you know, who were driving the buses would stop me and say, "Oh, you're an American," and they would want to talk about American music, and I would be just astounded at the amount they knew, and I was often embarrassed by it.
So you said you spent a lot of time listening to an orchestra in Hamburg that really caught your ear.
Well, it was the ballet orchestra in Hamburg, and my host family there were big ballet nuts, and they took me as often as they could to both opera and ballet. But I remember the Prokofiev Romeo and Juliet that I heard, and here I'm only 19 years old, and hearing that performed for the first time, and it just knocked me over. And there's a wonderful saxophone solo in
that's
the
right
of that.
Yeah, you get to play a lot of Seattle Symphony recordings and performances. Maestro Schwartz tends to pick literature that uses the saxophone.
Well, I don't know if he's doing it deliberately to use the saxophone, but he does a lot of modern literature, and so because of that, the saxophone is far more frequently included in the orchestra.
Yeah. So you had this kind of epiphany in Germany that I love this music, I want to play it. You wanted to become a professional musician.
Yeah, although when I was there, what really struck me was that I was an American, and I had some very special skills because of my familiarity with jazz. All of us in this country grow up with it around us, and we have it in our bones. So interpretation of jazz for me was something that always came very naturally, and that was something that people in Germany took note of.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, though, you came back to Portland where you grew up, and guess had a teacher who, while jazz was in your bones, the sort of classical style of saxophone playing was something that was maybe new to you.
Well, this was my first real teacher was named Jerry Leaders, and he's actually now living down in California, but he was the first teacher who ever really took me by the collar and said, "Look here, young man, if you're serious about being a musician, here's the stuff you must do." And that was lots of scales and lots of arpeggios and lots of technical study, and then a large volume of classical literature.
Yeah, it's funny you're describing to me how in the United States there's kind of a group of saxophone teachers who believe the saxophone should be only taught in a very strictly European classical tradition.
Yeah, there's a large tradition in our country, mostly centered in the Midwest, where students are trained in a very strict classical method, and the bulk of their repertoire are concertos and sonatas in the concert classical style.
Let's take a tune and kind of hear it, how it would be, played in the classical style, and then more in the way that you felt it and experienced it. It was more in that jazz tradition that runs through our,
sure,
our blood.
Well, there, as I said, there are many symphonic works written for the saxophone now that are great works that stand on their own. But here's a piece that was written by Billy Strayhorn, the great composer who was Duke Ellington's sideman for all those years. It's called Chelsea Bridge, and it's a rather haunting melody played in a classical style would be pretty straightforward and focus on intonation and beauty of sound and things of that sort.
Chelsea Bridge, Michael Brockman's playing it for us. He's in our performance studio here on KUOW, kind of learning what it's like to be an open-minded and highly adaptable musician as Michael shares his journey from studying music or listening to music in Germany to studying with some of the great jazz and classical teachers of saxophone in this country. So that's a kind of sound that you'd go on the stage in Benaroya Hall to play with.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it needs to be clear and it needs to have as little fuzziness as possible so that it carries clearly in a bel canto style back to the back of the auditorium.
Beautiful, beautiful singing.
Mm-hmm.
So Chelsea Bridge, as you would interpret it in a more jazz... Chelsea Bridge, Michael Brockman playing it for us. A couple different interpretations there. That's beautiful. Both ways are beautiful.
Yeah, it's a great composition, so it can stand any number of styles applied to it.
Yeah. Let's follow this thread of kind of the classical saxophone a little bit more. And a recent recording you've done with the Seattle Symphony, Gerard Schwartz conducting. And this is the Golden Age ballet score by Shostakovich. And what sort of sound and feel are you going for here?
Well, I believe that it was really intended to replace the human voice. This is the soprano saxophone in the Golden Age suite that states the melody very beautifully and very smoothly, but it's in a very vocal manner. So the style is meant to be beautiful and smooth and... very spiritual.
Yeah, yeah. Here's a little bit of that Golden Age ballet. The music of Shostakovich and the soloist there on the soprano saxophone is our guest in our performance studio here on KUOW, Michael Brockman. He's the co-director of the Seattle Repertory Jazz Orchestra, frequently performs with the Seattle Symphony, teaches at the University of Washington. And we're talking about Michael's path as a saxophonist from classically trained player to jazz player. You went to the Berklee School of Music in Boston.
Yeah, I was briefly there as part of my undergraduate training. I kind of extended my undergraduate training in a lot of ways. But went out there and studied with the great Joe Viola and another saxophonist, George Garzon.
Yeah.
And that was wonderful, a very eye-opening experience.
Yeah. What? Where were you at now having studied with this very sort of formal... classical teacher on the West Coast, and then going to the East Coast, and all sorts of new sounds and possibilities, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest asset that I had taking over there to Boston was my classical technique and my ability to study music and master it in a classical sense. A lot of the my peers in the jazz world didn't have that, but I also had a real handicap in that I only heard one way of playing in my head, and those those new teachers had, they opened a whole other world to me, so that I could hear that there were, you know, any dozen ways to interpret a good melody.
Yeah. Kind of going through some of the recordings that you've brought in to share with us today, I want to explore a little bit of your work with the Seattle Repertory Jazz Orchestra. And this is some music that you've recorded by Duke Ellington. The SRJO has done a number of the performances of the sacred music of Ellington. Music from the sacred music of Duke Ellington recording by the Seattle Repertory Jazz Orchestra. And we heard a section called Too Good to Title, and it was Michael Brockman playing there. He's talking about his varied experience and training as a saxophonist. Michael plays sometimes with the Seattle Symphony, with the Seattle Repertory Jazz Orchestra, which he co-directs and teaches at the University of Washington. I want to talk about a teacher that you had, I guess, as a graduate student at the New England Conservatory. And so you've had now the strict classical training, all the jazz instruction at Berkeley, and you go to New England. And who did you run into there?
Well, that was the venerable Joe Allard, who was the man I hoped to study with throughout my whole life, and eventually got to a point where I felt I could go do that.
Mm-hmm. And how was he kind of further breaking down these boundaries in terms of, you know, what you could or couldn't play?
Well, he was one of those teachers who taught everyone, no matter what their background was. He as long as a student was willing to work hard for him and try to absorb everything, he was willing and very eager to teach them, regardless of what style they played. And that included, he had a lot of students who were classical musicians, who were very heavy bebop musicians, but then also some who were doing pop music and funk music at the time was something that was a new challenge to him, and he took it on beautifully.
Yeah. What did he say that could cross all those boundaries, or what did he expect of his
students? Well, you know, each time I would bring something in, I would be struggling with it, and he would sort of scoff and say, "Oh, nonsense! This is just music." But he said that enough times to me that we would. I finally realized what he was saying was that music is music is music, and no matter what the piece is that you're playing, you have to listen to the recordings for it and try to get at the original intent of the composer and find the style for that piece of music, and then play it that way, not to be bound in by any particular style, but let the music guide the style that you play.
Mm-hmm.
So we had... if we had a Baroque piece, we would have to adjust the way we interpreted articulations and interpreted phrasing. If we had a very modern 20th century piece, we would have to adjust for that. And jazz pieces obviously have a whole other bag of tricks. So he advocated he was the person who got me on that path of being able to adapt to whatever music is called for.
Yeah. How important is his influence in the way you work with your own students now, in the way that you teach? Are you passing on those lessons?
Yeah, I'm passing on those same beliefs that every musician should and can adapt to lots of different styles, and it's one of the best ways for young musicians to guarantee themselves a career, because one really never knows where the path will lead in a performing arts career. It might require something that they didn't expect.
Mm-hmm. What are the extraordinary examples of you that you see of that at work? I know you played the Seattle Symphony Concert just recently that Yo-Yo Ma was performing in, and what an example there of a musician who has adapted to kind of every imaginable stuff.
He's a perfect example.
Yeah.
A perfect example. And I think that's a major reason his career is so very successful, that he deliberately goes seeking new music and new styles to present to his audiences.
Yeah. And that's an example you hold up as your own career unfolds.
As my own and for all of my students. I was just talking last night with a student who is one of my classical saxophone students, and she's playing in an all-girl funk band and having a great time. And I have to say that when she comes back from playing in that, her interpretations of classical music are improved, not because she's applying a funk style to anything, but rather she is an interpreter. She comes back and is looking very deliberately at what the interpretation is.
Uh-huh. An interpreter. And that's what Joe Allard was talking about. You have to dig deep into the composer's intention and surroundings. And
yes, but then also, and this is part of what I was saying about Jerry Schwartz too, that I admire so much in him, is that regardless of the piece of music, he is willing to take a risk and put his own personal interpretation on the music. So it's a two-sided thing. One has to look into what the composer's intentions were, but then also be very willing to apply a personal music interpretation.
Yeah. And you experienced that as you played the Shostakovich as a member of the orchestra under Gerard Schwartz.
Yeah.
The interpretation he gave might be different than the ones you would do at a solo setting or something like that.
Yeah, it turns out very valid, because then the entire orchestra has a very unified sound to it that is basically generating out of his interpretations. Yes.
Let's kind of go full circle here, because you have one last recording that you've brought in of a composer by the name of Erwin Schulhoff, a classically trained composer from the early part of the century, but very fascinated with American jazz, you know, as those German folks were that you experienced as a student in Germany. Tell me about the Hot Sonata and how it kind of brings all these worlds together.
Well, it's a 1930s, early 1930s German and actually German Jewish interpretation of what jazz should sound like. And so it's a wonderful piece of classical music, but there are lots and lots of notations throughout the music that are asking for the performer to put jazz inflection in it. Mm-hmm. So that it sounds as close to American jazz as it can, still within the context of European classical music.
Yeah, so it's got that, the composer's personality is there no matter what, and his, yes, his ears and his experience.
And I also, there were written notes from the composer asking that the player interpret it in a jazz style as much as possible. So it leaves the door wide open to the individual performer to add lots of jazz.
Here's Michael Brockman with a little bit of the Hot Sonata by Erwin Schulhoff. Hot Sonata from the 1930s, music by Erwin Schulhoff, as performed by Seattle's Michael Brockman, saxophonist, co-director of the Seattle Repertory Jazz Orchestra, frequently performs with the Seattle Symphony and teaches at the University of Washington. Michael's been with us to share his instrument live in our studios and some recordings in which he's featured, sharing with us what being an open-minded and highly adaptable musician sounds like and is all about. Michael, appreciate all your work that you do in the community, and thanks for coming in and sharing this music with us.
Oh, I sure appreciate the time with you.
Monday, September 24th, 2007, KUOW 94.9. I'm Dave Beck.